More and more now, we are using our plastic or our smart devices to make payments, not just in large stores. It could be going to the hairdresser even. But how accessible are chip and PIN machines if you are blind or partially sighted? And indeed, how does it all work if you come across some of the new touchscreen machines? They have been around for a while, but what's happening? Are they being made more accessible? Well, we have with us Dave Williams and Samantha Fothergill from RIB. Dave, if I can come to you first of all, the touchscreen machines have been around for a while. Red lights go off even, you know, when I've come across some of these before, because they are not accessible.
Some of them aren't. RIB has now, I think, for about 3 years, been working with the industry on accessible solutions for these machines. One proposal currently is a machine that will use audio. So it will make tones when you are touching the keypad on the screen, and then you can use the OK and cancel buttons to orient yourself. This does require the merchant to enable the accessibility mode on the device. And clearly that feature is not available on all machines. So lots of work to do to build awareness with industry and with retailers and individuals.
Will there be changes also for those perhaps who are partially sighted in terms of the size of text, fonts, backgrounds, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. So what's happening generally is that retailers and merchants are moving over to machines where the whole of the front of the machine is a touch screen. And this gives them more space for advertising, to add features, push software updates, all that kind of thing. And that's why it's attractive for retailers to go with these. But actually, some of these new machines, because they have a larger screen, it does mean in some cases that actually they can be higher contrast, can display larger digits, and in some cases for some partially sighted people are easier to see.
And you mentioned about the accessibility feature turning on and off. Could they come just with the ability to have it on and that is it?
Well, I'm not sure all customers would want that on. And obviously, having the amount of your transaction spoken out loud, that's something that I would want, because I would rather know what it says on the machine and have the machine tell me that than just take somebody's word for it. And of course, in the past, you know, we always just took somebody's word for it, whether you were paying with a check or whether you were just doing a contactless payment. You would just have to trust that what somebody's telling you is accurate. And of course, that the receipt that you receive contains accurate information. And my preferred way to pay is using my smartwatch, because I am able to read that information myself. I've got speech software running on the watch, so it speaks the transaction. I feel a little haptic vibration when the payment is made, and that gives me a lot of confidence. My wife is quite old school. She still has a checkbook. So were we in a situation where we couldn't use a payment machine, I'm pretty sure she would whip out the checkbook and say, right, well, in that case, I'm going to do this.
How receptive are the manufacturers to these changes? You know, there are several manufacturers in there, and I think we know from all that change can take a little while.
Yeah, and sometimes, of course, people develop new products and don't necessarily consider accessibility at the outset, which we really wish they would, because it's often easier to include accessibility right from the start when you're designing a machine, rather than trying to kind of retrofit accessibility later. UK Finance is the sort of the industry organisation that RNIB is working with, and UK Finance represent around 300 companies. And I understand we've conducted group tests with five different models of machines. So we've definitely got some engagement, and we're trying to work right the way across the piece on this one. And, you know, this is for part of, you know, RNIB's wider kind of accessible personal finance picture anyway. You know, we've worked with Bank of England to make sure that there are tactile markings on banknotes. We've worked with banks to make sure that cash machines talk. We obviously offer things like signature guides so that you're able to do that independently. So clearly access to personal finance is something that's hugely important to all of us here at RNIB, and this is the kind of the latest stage of that. So I think it's going to be ongoing. We're going to hear a lot more about this. And I would urge anybody who's having a problem to please contact us and let us know.
And we will give contact details in just a moment. Samantha Fothergill is also with us. Samantha, so there's some good news on the horizon here in terms of accessibility with the machines. But until then, we are, or many blind and partially sighted people, are going to come across some which are inaccessible.
Absolutely. And I think it's also going to take people a bit of time to learn how to use them as well. So I think it's also best to be prepared for what you're going to do if you do come across one of these machines. And obviously service providers, so those restaurants and cafes and shops, are all service providers under the Equality Act. So they all have a duty to make their services accessible. So that's where they should be really considering accessibility when they buy these machines, and they should certainly know how to use them.
So if I went into a shop and came across one which wasn't accessible, is there something that I should say politely, of course, to the retailer?
Well, I guess the first thing that you probably have to ask them to do is ask them to switch on the accessibility features, if they have them, if they know how to use them. So to just establish whether or not it does have those features. And then if they don't, you can explain to them that potentially it's a breach of the Equality Act, and what steps are they going to take to enable you to make a payment, and see what they say. I would admit that that is not an ideal solution, really, because you've still got to pay for the thing, haven't you? But I think from our perspective, we want to be challenging service providers and sort of indirectly challenging those manufacturers to actually consider accessibility when they do it. So, and we can only really do that if we get complaints from people and are able to take those forward.
Is it still possible to sign for your purchases? You know, we used to do it, we had to sign a piece of paper just to say, yes, pay them.
As far as I understand it, the chip and signature cards should still work. And you can also ask your banks for a chip and signature card if you wanted one of those, potentially as well as a chip and PIN card, because you might still be happy using a chip and PIN machine, for example, or using a PIN in a cash machine.
So there are still options for us at the moment. Are you still looking to hear from people, though, if they do come across these machines? Can people kind of help get the message out there to retailers as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we want people to complain if they come across the inaccessible one to the retailer themselves. And then we want you to tell us about it. And ideally, what we'd want to know is we'd want to know the name of the retailer and where it was, but also the manufacturer of the device. And then we can take it from there.
Well, we certainly do look forward to light at the end of the tunnel. And if you want to get in touch with RNIB to feedback, do call the helpline on 0303 123 9999. For the moment then, to Dave and to Sam, thank you both for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.